Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Bobby Moore as Jeff Hurst. Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is more than just a podcast. We are back once again, Season 7, Episode 12. My name is George. I'm here with Sean. Hello, Sean.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, Georgie George.
How are you?
I am amazing.
Good. I'm here with John. Hello, John.
Hello, George.
Your name on our podcast login is No to Komen.
Yeah, there you go. Because I think Sean...
More of that later.
Sean has put it out there that we should be getting him, so I disagree.
And Nigel is here. Hello, Nigel. Are you in your shed? Nigel?
Turn my mic on. I'm in my shed. Fuck that.
Oh, dear.
I must have looked a right plum doing that to myself.
Yeah. Great start. So let's kick off with the Brighton match. Obviously we were all there on Friday Night Football. Optimistic, found the supporters club, the new supporters club, Nigel, John and myself, and a nice couple of beers, and then it all went downhill from there, didn't it?
Can I ask a question about the supporters club first?
I don't want
to be unfair. Was it just you and the two swans that there were there? Because the picture I saw was like two of you with two swans.
Well, we did get there quite busy. Early, to be honest. We were in there by, what, about half five, George, was it? Something like that, 5:45.
Yeah, nearly 6 o'clock. It wasn't busy, but, you know, there was quite a few people in there, but I think, you know, we'll get busier.
Yeah?
That's more people hear about
it. How was the beer and the service? Could you rate it?
The beer was good. I had a couple of pints of Guinness.
Prices?
Rate it out of what?
Well, how was the prices?
£3.50 a pint.
Yeah, it wasn't expensive. Yeah.
Did you have one of the famous 4-pint jugs?
No. I did have a burger, though, and it was delicious.
Excellent.
It was good. It was closer than we thought as well. We found our way the long way round following a phone map. But when we come out of there, we followed Nigel, and because he's the local lad, and he brought us... we were straight there, really quick to the stadium, to be fair.
Wasn't it Nigel who sent you the phone map to get there in the first place?
Yeah, it was. That was really, really helpful, yeah.
We went, it's just over the canal.
So how'd you get there? How'd you get there? Walk.
Follow the canal path.
Swim.
But, yes. It was good.
Anyway, we're
so let's move. Let's move on to the football, shall we?
If we have to.
We all know the result was 3-0.
How was it?
Oh. Sean, what did you think of the game?
Well, I mean, we were all up for it. And I, like many other people, believed that, you know, we were gonna walk it. You know, 1-2, even 3-0. And we just didn't turn up, did we? I mean, well, the fans turned up in their in their droves, and I thought the atmosphere was going in the first, you know, we were singing Bubbles, the bubbles were flying in the air, that wonderful atmosphere on a lovely winter's night, and 9 minutes.
Autumn.
They score. Autumn night, they score. And I wrote a blog about this on Clarence Hugh afterwards. I thought it was one of the most toxic evenings I've spent at the London Stadium. I saw, I mean, this is, I'm going to just show you the stuff off the pitch before we get back onto the pitch. I saw West Ham fan turn on West Ham fan, and that's in our block in 113 because I was down with the kids on row four. I saw that twice in the first half. Then I went at half time up to the back of 114. The police were there. They'd arrested a man again, some kind of incident. At the second goal, obviously that was before half time. On the third goal, it then started going off in Club London in the corporate hospitality area right next to the director's box. And that was it. I took my kids out of there and you two joined. I know Nigel's going to say he stayed to the bitter end, but I just thought enough's enough. It was probably one of the worst evenings I've ever spent at a London Stadium. I don't mind saying that live on air, John. And the football, I mean, what can you say about the football? No one was playing with pride. No one was playing with passion. We just let them walk all over us. We did play. I will give us one thing. After we had a period of time, after the first goal went until the second goal went in, where we really seemed to be putting some passes together, but the final ball wasn't there. And I just kept on thinking, we're going to score in a minute. I kept on saying to my son Finley, we're going to score in a minute. You look, we're going to get the equaliser. As soon as that second goal went in, which I understand you two, George and John, missed because they were watching some locals being shoved around in a row below them. So that was another piece of trouble. that was it. We had the stuffing knocked out of us and we gave up. I think Slaven Bilic has lost the dressing room. I don't think they're playing for him. You know, Sacco, who knows, what in the run up to that,
whether
Sacco
was.
Well, it's his back again, and his back's never really gone or got better. But some people say, you know, he doesn't like Bilic. He, you know, some would go further and say he hates him. And some would say he pulled a sickie. But, I mean, who knows what's gone? I mean, Ogbonna, his baby, liked a Bilic out tweet. I mean, what are the chances of that? I mean, what can you say that's positive about Friday night? And to cap it off, Bilic saying, I don't know what went wrong. I'm going to take full responsibility. I was speechless. Speechless.
John, I reckon you've got a positive off Friday night.
What was that then? The supporters club.
No. What were they selling behind the bar?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Well, we couldn't say that straight away because they were normally selling it around the corner, weren't they, in 113. But they actually sold behind the main bar. They were selling IPA and Murphy's. So, yeah, that was...
I think you should thank someone live on air.
I'd like to thank Sean.
No, I want you to thank who actually sorted it out for you.
You did. You made a complaint to old Brady, who then put you in touch with the people, and then they...
I want you to thank Karen Brady live on air.
I'm not thanking her for doing something that she should have done ages ago.
She sorted out 8 bitters behind the bar for our bar just for you, John. Be a man and say thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Sean. Thank you for your efforts.
He still can't do it.
Like, Nigel, anyway. Did you see the on the pitch antics any differently to how Sean covered it?
The players for me were shockingly pathetic. It leads me to question when people talk about the players playing for a manager, oh, the manager's lost the players, he's got to go. When does professional pride kick in? A professional footballer knows how to play football. If they're good enough, they know when to go out there. If they don't agree with what the manager's saying, I know when I'm at work, if I don't agree with what the manager's saying, I'll do it my way, if I think my way's right. So if they think Bilic is wrong, go out there and do it differently and show him that he's wrong. because they need to look at themselves seriously, seriously. It was just lacking everywhere across the pitch in effort and pride. They're not there to play for Bilic. They're there to play for West Ham United Football Club and the supporters that pay good money to watch it. That's what they're there for. The Bilic is just the conductor of an orchestra. An orchestra watches a conductor, but they know how to play. They don't realistically need him.
Good analogy.
You know, get out there and play bloody football, and that's what you're paid to do by the club. And it's nothing to do with Bilic. It's down to the players. And if they're playing like that because they don't want to play for Bilic, then shame on them for being like that. That's the way I see it.
That's what Nigel thinks. No, I think I agree with quite a lot of that, to be honest. I think, other than, like Sean said, after the first goal, before the second, you know, we did look like we could score. I thought Lanzini in particular was trying hard to create something out of nothing, but we failed to capitalise at that time and they got us back. John, anything to add?
Yeah, I think Antonio looked like he got injured and took his game out of him. Yeah, I agree with that, but I would also say that, you know, when Nigel's saying that they're not playing for him or they should play for their own pride and stuff, there you've got to bear in mind that this generation of footballers are overpaid, overrated and over sort of pampered like children, aren't they? So if they all decide to throw their toys out of the pram, it's very difficult, I think, to keep them in line. But that's what it looked like to me. It looked like players were just not wanting to play. And I think Arnautovic was a prime example of that. He was awful.
Yeah. I mean, look at this thing he came out with. I don't know if you saw the interview before or before the game, how he didn't care if people booed him. He was out to prove people wrong and they hadn't seen the best of him yet. And he wanted his children to be proud of him and all this bollocks. And I didn't see any kind of performance from him. He's all talk. He's got the attitude, but he doesn't seem to back it up. And, you know, on paper, you've got a really good squad there. So what is it? I mean, I know Bilic said he can't put his finger on it. I can't put my finger on it. Is it just that they don't want to play for him, or is it something else that, I don't know. Nigel, you're a soothsayer. You can see these. What is it? What is it that Bilic can't get out of this team, this squad, that on paper it looks really good? Confidence?
Perhaps it's lack of confidence. I think there's a difference, not so much in the results, but in the performances. If you take the Burnley performance, which was only 7 days before that, 6 days before the Brighton game, look at the way West Ham played. Every blogger and everybody else I see making a prediction, even I did, we're going 3-0 West Ham, 2-0 West Ham, we're going to do these Brighton. We did that off of the back of watching the Burnley game, where with 10 men, we were still a team playing that had a few chances to attack. What happened in that week to do that? That we go from the Burnley performance to the Brighton performance. And whether it's the toxic atmosphere at the stadium, I don't know, because we went 1-0 down after 9 minutes. Whether it's the nervousness, perhaps, where they've got a freedom when they play away from home.
There's lots of rumours about the training and the fitness and the intensity of the training. Do you think that could be getting worse and creeping in?
No, I don't buy that. Footballers turn up. What do they train? Hour and a half a day?
Yeah.
Four times a week?
But I hear no. That, you know, people turn up late. People are given special dispensation. There is a mentality of being very relaxed at Rush Green is what I've been told.
But this is the thing. You get clubs where a manager comes in and he's a disciplinarian. Like, oh, Koeman is a disciplinarian.
Oh, yeah, What's happened to him? Right, that's so, what we need. That's so what they, we need. We need a little bit of tough love here.
Evan. So people going, oh, Bilic is too soft. Bilic is that. When I was a manager, I tried to, the people I worked with, I wanted to get along with them because you all had to work together. And I'd like to think I led from the front, and if we were staying late, we all stayed late, and you get that team spirit. If there is special dispensations going on that players can turn up a bit later, then that will fester in some people.
Knock people. Yeah.
But he can't be so soft because he falls out with, you know, how many stories have you heard of players he's fallen out with?
Well, so. I don't buy that, to be fair. I don't buy that. The worst thing at the moment for me with the club is all this, and you're part of it in a way, Sean, what you do, is all these stories that come out. It seems like every hour everybody's trying to push an agenda, and this is what's making the club as much as a circus as everything. I don't know if other clubs have it because I don't follow other clubs. I only follow West Ham.
Can I tell you the real reason we lost on Friday night? The Clarence Hugh flag was not put up in West Ham.
Shall I tell you another reason why we got such a toxic atmosphere? I mean, it wasn't toxic at the beginning of the game, was it? To be fair, it was a lively, you know, everyone had obviously had a couple of beers. It was a Friday night and everyone was up for it. But, you know, the whole thing from top to bottom, even the stadium is set up. They don't even really want us there. We had this discussion there on the night, Sean, do you remember? We're talking about even the way they set it all up all around the ground. It's all about welcome to this stadium, music events, and then sport tucked in after it. They don't, you know, the whole place is not very welcoming. It's not a nice experience for a game of football. It puts everyone gives people the ump. And, you know, we need a winning team to change that round. It's the only way. But there's so much crap going on, isn't there, between the club and the stadium. And the progress doesn't seem to be being made on that front. And the way the club is run from top to bottom is it looks to me like amateur hour. And if we are going to talk about...
But they did have bitter beyond the bar, though, John.
Oh, they did, Sean. And thank you for that. But...
One question. Did you have to queue coming over Bridge 4? Because I did, by the way, with the kids. Did you have to queue for...
We did Bridge 2, didn't we? Because we went to the supporters club.
All right.
Empty, but don't tell everyone.
Sean, can you introduce this next part, please?
Before that, I just want to ask one question to Nigel.
Oh.
Nigel.
Yeah. Why don't you host the bloody podcast then?
No, I'm just going to ask him this because I wanted to ask it, but I didn't want to interrupt. Nigel, as one of the SAB2 and one of the founders of Hughes View, how come you stayed till like 11 o'clock at the London Stadium, last man out, and then did a cameo appearance on West Ham Fan TV? You must love the place.
It does seem that way, yeah, love it. I like it actually when everybody leaves early because it gets you out of my way, because I do like to stay to the end. We came out, waited by the away fans to leave. We could hear all the Brighton fans singing. Got told by a steward, believe it or not, it's going to be an hour to 2 hours. You're better off walking the other way. And I totally ignored him. Went, don't think so, mate. And 5 minutes later, they opened the doors. But I enjoy watching the West Ham Fan TV people have their say. Because I try to see if I can pick anything up from my funny videos. They weren't.
You should. You were in the background doing your.
I did that on purpose, because that was my mate Mike who was talking. So I thought if I stand here and do the wimpiest little crossed hammers I can, because I hate that when people do that with their arms.
I know you do. That's my point. You hate people doing crossed hammers. We'll put this video, George. Should we put this video up on the Facebook group so everyone can see it?
But I just do it with my little fingers.
To be fair, Sean. We weren't going to leave. We were going to go and have a drink afterwards and wait for that barrier to come down. So when we were leaving and you were leaving, we were going to go and get a beer and wait for the barrier to come down. We got to the bar. Bar shut.
Bar shuts 10 minutes after half time.
So, there you go.
I thought they were supposed to stay open after the
especially
game.
Especially the late bars, yeah. That's what we thought. That's what we thought.
Yeah. Well, they don't seem to do it, particularly on a night game. The other question I want to ask Nigel.
Yeah, again, no consistency. You never know where you are, where you're coming or going.
I heard he met up with a friend of the podcast, Leon Hyde, ex-West Ham DJ, and they had a little bit of an altercation on the train home. What happened there, Nigel?
just a bit of pushing and shoving, that's all. I told Leon to
stop. Don't want to say any more.
But, you know, I'll put him in his place, don't worry.
Excellent.
Nothing of the sort. It was just a West Ham fan got into an altercation with a very, very tall person. And we just tried to say, look, people, calm it down. It's a packed train. That's all.
But isn't this West Ham? This is what I said earlier. West Ham fans turning on West Ham fans.
I don't think the very, very tall person was a West Ham fan.
All right. Okay.
He was a local.
He was an Arsenal fan then, if he was local.
He didn't have anything that distinguished any football club. He just looked like a man that was pissed off.
Right.
Well, he could have been a West Ham fan then.
Hey.
Okay, well, Sean, going back to the running order.
You ready now?
Yeah. Sure, sure. Let's hear what the soon-to-be ex-gaffer has to say.
Oh, jeez.
Slaven, what's your reaction to that result and in particular that performance?
It's a bad result for us, bad performance. The goals killed us. The first one very quick and in between. Between the first and second goal, we were dominating in those moments where we were good. At the end of the first half, we conceded the second one from like individual skill from that player, and we tried to come back. But you know, it's very hard for me to say anything clever now. Apart from the thing that it's very disappointing and frustrating, and of course, as a manager, I take the full responsibility for that.
You take the responsibility, but did some of your players let you down tonight with their application?
Okay, come on. We all wanted, you know, it happened to us a few times also last season, and now at the moment that you are thinking we're in a good shape, we're in a good form and all that, we need those, and we had home game like tonight, with the greatest respect to them. I think now is the game that we're going to climb up the table, get 3 points and then not start the season, but play with less negative pressure. We simply don't do it. You know, the players done their best in this moment, but it wasn't good enough.
The worrying thing is that obviously you've seen this happen before,
yep.
And the easy question is, why is it happening? What's going wrong?
It just we block. Okay, tonight you start the game and you are with good confidence and good shape. Suddenly it's 1-0 for them. It affects you. It gives them a boost. And then, as I said, in the first half we played good football and then we concede another one, and that affects the game that you play. And to be fair, we were dominating the game, but very sterile, you know. On the contrary, they were in all the situations that they had to expose the space that they have, because we were losing, we were trailing, and we wanted to, and we had to take the risk, of course. They were kind of a little, you know, and they used that in the best possible way for them. Why did it happen? To be fair, for tonight, I don't know. It looked all right. It looked very good at the training ground. It looked very good in last few games. We were getting some players back from the back in shape and all that, but you're right. We didn't look good enough.
When we spoke to David Sullivan before the game, with regard to yourself, he said, "Look, he'll be here till the end of the season, unless it becomes a desperate."
What they're gonna do, you know, it is their decision. All that I'm saying is, like, in one hand, we've been in these situations before, and we get out. We get out of that. On the other hand, I'm of course, as a manager, you are taking the credit, and also as a manager, you are taking.
He might say, "Time's up for you this time."
Well, I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all about it. To be fair, I'm doing my best. But as you said, when you lose against Brighton 3-0 home in a game that's. It's not must win. It's not that stage of the season, to be fair, but it was very, very important game for us, and we didn't make it.
Can you get better out of this group of players?
Well, I always believe in myself. That's not a question. No, I'm a fighter, but it's not my decision.
What do you think of that, John?
I haven't listened to it.
I'm not fair enough.
Well, you know what he said.
It's just...
I take full responsibility.
I've heard some of it on the radio since when. I mean, I've heard so much stuff on the radio. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But yeah, I haven't listened to it.
There's a lot. So. There's a lot of stuff on the radio. Yeah. Sean, latest on? What is the latest on the gaffer? Then you've introduced him as the soon-to-be ex-gaffer. Do you know something we don't?
And should he stay or should he go?
Should he stay or should he go? Well, we did a
It was like the Clash were in the room then.
Yeah. So we did a poll, Claret and Hugh, 3,000. The vast majority, I forget what it was now, 79% want him gone immediately. Only 10% want to give him to Palace like Nigel. 5% want to give him to January. Another 4%, I think, want to give him to the end of the season. Whatever's left, want to give him a new contract. So, the fans want him gone, but the senior source close to the board says they won't do so until they've got a replacement, which is at least better than what they've got already. So they believe that no one is available. You know, you can throw names out there, but no one's available.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ancelotti is not available, he has said.
Mourinho.
He wants 10 months. Mourinho is not available.
Klopp.
He's not available.
Brendan Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers is not available.
Johnny Lyle.
You'd better...
Johnny Lyle was dead.
Can we dig him up?
No.
You wouldn't. You'd be able to get Brendan Rodgers out of Celtic. I've no doubt about that.
Why'd you say that? Look. All right, let's be honest, right? We ain't going to pay loads of compensation. That's not what DS does.
We don't need to pay compensation at all.
We don't... Alan Pardew. We're not going to pay... Look, I think it's quite disrespectful what you're saying about Lyle, Nigel. I hate to pick you up on this as a Surrey boy, but I think you should apologise.
Harry Redknapp.
Harry Redknapp will not be employed by...
Sam Allardyce.
Sam Allardyce is a possibility. I have been told, and I've got a lot of stick for this, and I wish it wasn't true, but Sam Allardyce is a possible, as a short-term
Sean,
replacement. I
Sean,
think he would
don't
tell
lie.
Us
Your life will change again. You'll get the Allardycegram book in back.
Do you know what? What shocked me? Over 2,000 people voted on another poll I did over the weekend, and over 59% said they would accept Sam Allardyce back. What do you think about that then, Nigel?
Mugs, the lot of them. That's what I think. I agree. Absolute mugs.
I was talking to your friend in America.
Oh, yeah.
What's David and John Hodzink.
So it's...
He's going to send me another video because I can't remember his name. David H. And he said that him and John would stop supporting West Ham if Sam Allardyce becomes West Ham manager again. But you know what? Even Hugh, and he's one of probably Sam Allardyce's biggest haters, said to me yesterday, that he would accept. If it was a choice of Sam Allardyce...
Some people, I'll tell you.
...or Slaven Bilic, he would accept Slaven Bilic.
Flip-flop fan.
Well, what would you... All right, we know Nigel's view. I'm wanting to ask you, John, and you, George, Sam Allardyce, would you accept him back just to the end of the season?
Who are you John? Asking me? No, I wouldn't.
For it.
I mean, the whole thing needs a little bit putting in context, doesn't it? I mean, I agree that Slaven Bilic hasn't covered himself in glory. He's been playing Hernandez out here. He's been doing whatever. But, I mean, he's been undermined at every turn. He's been publicly humiliated by our ownership. There must be so much going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And you probably get told it from one point of view because you get told from your senior source.
But I get told by a number of senior sources, by the way, and a number of other... I correlate it with a number of things. It's not just from one point of
all
view.
All right, well, I mean, it must be an absolute nightmare for him to try and manage his club. He came out and said at the beginning of the season he based most of his thing around the Carvalho deal. He was offered alternatives, but he was pretty much told he would get his number one target, which was Carvalho. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's been... There's so many things that go on. We just kind of imagine what he has to deal with, to be honest. So, all right, he hasn't done or covered himself in glory, like I said, with playing his player out of position or falling out or whatever it is. But the whole thing needs to be looked in the context of what's going on, plus the fact that his contract is due at the end of the season. They clearly weren't going to renew it. He's a lame duck manager, sat there ready to get the boot, and then now they're not performing for him. He should be gone in real terms because he's had such crap performances that, you know, they've got every right now to probably get rid of him, yet they still haven't got a bloody clue who to change him with. They haven't got anyone lined up.
I agree with
that. That is ridiculous, right? to have a contract running at the end of the season and not knowing who to replace him in is absolutely ridiculous. They're incompetent and they should just fuck off. Oh, ho, ho!
That bit. But I agree that they should. I agree they should have had something in place. I think they knew at the beginning of the season they had to replace him, and they should have had someone lined up. So I agree. I don't agree with the F off bit at the end. I think that's rather strong. But, you know, they've got to have some criticism. By the way, just for the record,
it's not just another example that it's just all getting a bit too big and scary for them.
I think they're a little bit cautious with their money, and part of this might be that they want to pay the compensation. I've worked out, by the way, Slaven Bilic is paid around £3 million a year. If you work it out, he's got about £2.25 million left in wages. So if they sack him now, they have to pay him £2.25 million in compensation. Okay? I know there's been rumours and stories about he offered to resign, but only to the players, and only saying, well, if you don't want me anymore, I'll go to the players. At no point has he offered his resignation to the board or David Sullivan and said, I'll go, because... I don't know. I think they would have taken it because, no compensation. We'll snap your hands off. So he's not stupid, right? He's got a degree in law and speaks nine languages or whatever. He's not going to fall on his sword. He's going to get his money. And if that means he waits out for his 2.25 million and obviously it goes down each month, then I think he'll wait it out.
But he knows that he's gone at the end of the season.
Yeah,
and they
he
know he's gone.
He's not stupid.
So how can they be in this position now where they haven't got a clue who to appoint?
I don't know. They like Sean Dyche. He's on £3 million, by the way. He's just got a mega deal.
Next level manager.
Well, Sean Dyche is all right, isn't he?
Next level manager. Yeah, I can see us getting in the top.
Ronald Koeman is on £6 million a year. And by the way, if you start looking Mancini, I don't know if you saw the article I did. I mean, you're talking. Ancelotti's on like £12.5 million. He was at Bayern Munich. And Mancini, is it Mancini who's in China? He's on £10 million a year.
I call him Mancini, and he's in Russia.
In Russia, you're right. Who's in? Is it Pellegrini that's in China?
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, we pay £3 million a year, the same as Sean Dyche. Are we ready to pay mega money for a manager? I would say not.
Put it this way, were Southampton ready to pay mega money when they replaced their managers and then did a bit of actual bit of pre-planning and sent scouts out and did a bit of whatever, and then came up with what's his name at Tottenham now, you know,
Pochettino.
Yeah, so
yeah,
you know,
you
don't have to go out and get the one who's just won the league in another country, or the person who's just, you just have to go out and do a bit of, get people out there looking and do a bit of work and effort and sort of scout a manager. So why are they not doing that? Why is that not happening?
I don't know. Mancini, by the way, just looking, €4.5 million a year, so maybe he's a bit affordable. It's Pellegrini that's on the 10 million and Ancelotti on 12.6 million. Benitez is on 4.2 million. And I don't think he'll come to us. I think he's going to wait out and see what happens at Newcastle with a new owner.
There is another model in the Premier League, though, that perhaps we've not looked at. And it's the Watford model. And I read it today. And the reason I read it was funny because it was Scott Duxbury, if we all remember him.
Really? I remember him. And allegedly said by Nigel, by the way, more than just the podcast. I'm making no suggestion that Mr. Duxbury was a crook, is a crook, or will ever be a crook in the future.
Possibly a crook. I don't know. He may not be a crook. I'm only guessing, Tevez. Anyway, Watford go through managers like they're Smarties, basically. Every year they have a different manager. But what they don't do is they don't change the coaching setup. So everything is geared towards, if a manager leaves, he's gone, we bring another one in, nothing changes, the continuity. And perhaps that's the problem, where clubs like West Ham and Everton and everybody else should be perhaps looking at that model, that if you get, say Slaven Bilic had West Ham in the top seven every year, the likelihood is he'll be poached by a bigger club. So he would leave us. And if he's crap, he gets sacked and we're stuck in a rut. Where what Watford have realised is, if we appoint managers short term, they've realised that no manager lasts more than two or three seasons anyway. So if we just keep doing that, but keep the coaching and a system of play set by the coaching staff continuous throughout, then it don't exactly matter who the coach is. And if you look back to when they come in the Premier League, they've changed manager after manager and they've got better and better and better.
But then at the moment, when they're thinking about getting rid of Slav now, one of the reasons they're not doing it is because they don't trust any of the coaching staff to step into the...
Yeah, but that's Slav's coaching staff. That's Slav's coaching staff. So
yeah, well, no, Terry Wesley's
they all
not.
Go,
but...
And they're left with no one.
Terry Wesley... I originally thought might get a caretaker role, but since I found out, you know, they didn't think he did very well at Derby, and he hasn't got the skill set to take over. And Terry Wesley very much
was
is
he, a, was he manager at Derby?
He had something to do with Derby. I don't know what, but that's what I was told.
Let's hope we don't listen to this then.
I saw him on Sunday when I did my my visit to the under-23, showing a little bit of loyal support of me.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Do you know what? You say that, and I know you're only joking. But bloody was a good game. Just there was no goals.
Martin has 80 minutes of football and not one goal to cheer. That's well done, Tom.
Martin has scored 26 goals in 23 appearances, but none on my watch. Yeah. But I tell you what, Declan Rice, what a player! When you see him up close, right at the thing, he is absolutely immense, and I can't believe that. He's not playing, but again, I don't think without telling tales out of school, Terry Wesley and Slaven Bilic do not get on one little bit, I hear, and there's a real problem between the academy and the main team.
That's because he's going to nick his job.
I don't think so.
So, moving on, I haven't seen the clip, but I understand that our owner David Sullivan, or co-owner David Sullivan, did a pre-match interview on Sky Sports. Is that correct?
He did.
And within that, he cited a poll that says that 95% of the fans are happy with the stadium.
Well, I don't think he cited a poll. He just said 95% people. He was asked about whether people got used to the new stadium. And off the top of his head, I've seen a transcript to it. I haven't seen the actual video. He said 95% of the supporters are happy.
Has anyone here seen the video?
No, we're all at the game.
Oh, great.
Well, the game. But I have seen a transcript of it. I mean, it's been reported widely. He also said, by the way, before the game, I haven't managed to find it. He also said that no one, that Slaven Bilic was going nowhere to the end of the season. And, you know, so what a thing just to say just before that game.
What was he supposed to say? Well, if we lose...
I don't know. I wouldn't have agreed to do the interview in the first place.
That's him. I mean, if it was the top of his head, it didn't have far to come, did it, to be fair?
But, So I know this 95, so... That's really unfair.
It all just goes past you, Sheldon, doesn't it? It's just...
I've done a West Ham football poll tonight. Just in the last hour, I've had over 1,120 votes, which is slightly a few more than the KUMP poll on the same subject.
You've got more polls than Barking, you know that.
Yeah, I know. More polls than Stringfellows would have been better.
Or not topical, though.
Oh, that was a drum roll, at least.
That's tumbleweed. We haven't got a tumbleweed sound effect, but...
Do you want to read out the results of my this evening's poll on how many people are happy with the London Stadium, Nigel?
To be honest, Sean, I'm not... Nigel, sorry, what are you going to ask me to do? I'm not sure. Nigel. I wanted to steal your thunder.
What, you want me to read it out?
Yeah.
Well, I've got to find it now, haven't I?
That's right in front of you. It's 1,149 now.
Oh, right. So, basically, it looks a bit furry, but it's 27% are happy with the stadium.
That includes
obviously
me.
They don't go. And then 73% are not happy with the stadium.
So, with a margin of error, he might have got that one wrong, our chairman.
But you just said that includes you, Sean.
I'm in the 27%.
I disagree with you.
Oh, no, well, I wasn't
been,
happy.
There's
no,
been many
you're right,
occasions
you're right.
Where you're not happy with the match experience.
I am. You are right to shout me out on that because I wasn't happy on Friday night and there's plenty of times I haven't been. And sometimes I forget that I'm just following the club message completely and sometimes you have to put me right and go, you're not happy, Sean, some of the time.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me, John.
So did you vote happy with it on your own poll, though?
No, you can't vote on your... When you do a Twitter poll, you can't vote on your own one.
Yeah, but you've got more than one user.
Well, come on in, you can tell us now.
What?
What would you have voted?
I would have voted, as from my last experience at the London Stadium, not happy with the stadium.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, I would say to that, you've only got yourself to blame because you wanted to go there in the first place.
Oh, that's a bit harsh. You've upset me now.
I would have said to that, though, a lot of us have to put up with it because we would have had no choice no matter what we tried to do. As you know, well, no, Nigel, you tried everything in your power. It made no difference.
Yeah, that is true. I won't dispute that. But they were going to take us no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. Yeah. They just followed a procedure to make everyone look like they did it.
Shall we hear what our listeners have got to say?
Yeah.
Nigel posted on the Facebook group, facebook.com/MornJustAPodcast. Is that your first post on the Facebook group, Nigel?
Yeah, short and sweet. To the point.
Yeah, I'm glad someone else is doing some work as well.
Congratulations.
Well,
congratulations.
It's good to be part of the team. Thank you.
I'm not on Facebook.
It's just you and Nigel, Sean.
Yeah.
It's not me every week. You have to fix the edit because of your rubbish internet.
That is true. That is true.
Podcasting tonight at around 7. Rant away in the comment section. We're going to start with Darren Kitching, who says, if Bilic is sacked, his natural successor should be the 70-year-old Croatian handball trainer. We're in Avram territory again, sadly. Everything looks unplanned, shaky and amateur. I'm all for stability and giving people time, but the fact Martinez wasn't even given a bench role on Friday night was the last straw for me. AU is too much. Think Shedman said it best in the last podcast. They should take the academy badge away.
We should call him Shedman. I like that.
I have just retweeted on the @MoreTGAPodcast Twitter a picture of Nigel that he's taken of himself in his shed. If you want to go and have a look at that. I'm in my shed. Ed Hughes says, if it's true that Slav offered his resignation after the Newcastle loss, what's the logic behind keeping a man who considers himself unsuitable to the task? Well, I think that's not true. We've deciphered, haven't we, Sean?
He offered. There's one thing offering. It's not resignation, is it? You offer, you say, if you don't want me, I'll go to your players, is not the same as the resignation, in my view. But
so that's what he said?
Yeah. That's not resignation, is it?
No.
Telling your players in the dressing room, if you don't want me, I'll leave, is not a resignation in my view.
No. Toby Fisher says, would rather we had players with less talent or experience who play for the shirt, show hunger, have heart and passion and care about our club. He has youth players in mind. What are our thoughts?
We've been there before, which was totally acceptable at the Bowleen, but now we're on to the next level. I don't think it would be acceptable.
I think it's all about the mix, isn't it? The blend of the youth and the hunger and the more experience and maybe flair players.
I can just... What I can say is, after watching the under-23s on Sunday, the only player that stood out that made it in the first team was Declan Rice. Martinez had a very poor game against a very poor Chelsea side. And I tell you what, if the rest of the team played like that, there's no way. This was a poor under-23 Chelsea side who haven't won in like five games. It was their first clean sheet in three games. And Martinez couldn't score, didn't do anything special. And I thought, if you play like that, there's no way you're getting in the team. By the way, I'm told Slav never comes to watch the under-23s.
It's because he doesn't get on with his counterpart.
Under-23 football's rubbish anyway, because they're playing against kids their own age, so you don't get the gauge. How well they do.
Tom Underwood's asked a similar question. Why was Martinez not even on the bench? If he can't get on the bench against Brighton when we have one other fit striker, what does that say about his future? He does ask, who would we pick to replace Bilic? So just quickly, one, if you had a choice, one answer each.
Ronald Koeman.
Chris Coleman.
I'm not answering. Until Bilic is gone, I won't discuss replacements.
Sorry, you have to say one as well, George.
I think the shout of Brendan Rodgers is a good one.
Okay.
Ed Hawthorn says, it seems like our board is happy to have us flirt with relegation and give up on the season to save a few pounds. What does Slav have to do to get sacked before the end of the season? Well, lose against Spurs and Palace, I think. Sergei Novish says, six episodes later, same question. Swap Bilic for Pardew today.
Won't happen. Pardew is not considered. I mean, apart from... I can't say that, players' wives. it won't happen.
Allegedly.
I'm told, allegedly, it won't happen.
It won't happen.
Oh, right. The allegedly bit was the random word I said, players' wives, which had no relation to the person I just talked to.
Over on Twitter, at @MoreTGAPodcast, Ben Ashelford says, so much for Mark Noble saying we aren't run like a circus anymore. Will we ever have a sustained period of a team to be proud of? Nigel, I'm sure you're going to argue that we have in the past.
Well, I don't know, actually. When you look at West...
Under Lou Macari.
No, when you look at West Ham, actually, the only period of success was realistically between 1964 and 1980. That's when we won all our trophies. So...
When you weren't even born.
I was born in between that period. So, but that's the only time we've seen real success. So, probably not.
We very rarely have a sustained team that's a sustained team to be proud of, have we? Very rarely. When we have that good season and then a couple of...
That's the West Ham way. We have one good season and then we just...
And fall apart. I honestly didn't mean Chris Coleman. I just threw that out there. I thought I'd get shouted down.
Stat attack. Did you know Ronald Koeman at Southampton had a 48% win ratio? The best win ratio any West Ham manager's ever had is Nigel.
Billy Bonds. But
Billy Bonds, 43%.
Hold up, minute for rebuttal.
Go on.
That includes second tier football. Bilic has not had second tier football. He's only had top tier football.
Fair point.
That's it for Facebook to the question time. So that's all that's left is predictions for Spurs and Palace. Spurs could be dangerous, in my opinion. Even,
you're not even going now, are you? You're not even going.
I'm not going now.
Yeah.
I think even with a second string team, Tottenham could give us a good beating.
I'm going to go 1-0 Spurs to us, and I'm going to go...
What?
Yeah,
1-0 Spurs to us?
Yeah, we're going to beat Spurs at Wembley, and then we're going to go on a double, and we're going to win 1-0 away in Selhurst Park to Palace, and then uncertainty will reign for the next rest of the season, because he's won two games just... in the scrappiest of ways, and nothing will be resolved.
John?
I reckon we'll lose 2-0 to Spurs, and I reckon we'll lose 1-0 to Palace.
Nigel?
I reckon we'll lose to Spurs, because I reckon we'll put out a second string team. But I think we'll do Palace. They're nothing. We ain't much, but we're still better than they're nothing.
I'm going to go for a 3-1.
Who did they tear apart? Palace. Who did Palace tear apart last game? No, let's go. Sorry, George, carry on.
3-1 Spurs. 2-1 West Ham against Palace.
Cool.
That's it.
Let's hope so.
Thank you for listening to Morning's
podcast.
Something to look forward to.
Podcast.
I have been George. Sean has been...
happy.
John has been
annoyed.
Nigel has been
Shedman.
Thanks for listening. Come on, you Irons.
Come on, you Irons.
Bye.
Come on, you Irons.
Bye.
More than just a podcast.
Bobby Moore.
More than just a podcast.
Shedman.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.